Hello, everyone. It's Coach Fav on behalf of Casinos USA.
And welcome to our 61st podcast, 135,000 slots in Nevada. And we're coming to you from Western Pennsylvania on this April 4th, 2019 afternoon. And before we get into our podcast, we still remember all those poor people in the Midwest who are dealing with flooding, catastrophic flooding. And certainly you remain in our prayers, and we wish you only the best.
We also want to remind all of our listeners that you may contact us via our 24/7 voicemail. That's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. Hey, you have 5 minutes to comment or question anything you'd like. And if it's decent, we'll get it on the air. Follow us on Twitter at CasinosUSA2017. Twitter is again CasinosUSA2017. And hey, join our Facebook group, CasinosUSA, written as two words. Our website, www.casinosusa.bet, archives all of our podcasts and offers photographs and betting schemes, particularly in craps, for your consideration. That's www.casinosusa, written as one word, .bet. We also provide a YouTube link to a report detailing the longest craps roll, documented craps roll in the United States. And it was by a woman who is a grandmother, and she was playing craps for only her second time, and she went to the table with but $100, and she just does not set dice. So this is important. And her name is Patricia DeMauro. And she went into the game not knowing what to expect. And 154 rolls later, that's 154 rolls later, her roll ended after 4 hours and 18 minutes. Again, this is all on casino tape. The Borgata did not reveal how much money was won at that table. But even with conservative estimates, it had to be a ton of money. So for us at Casinos USA, her example highlights that it's not necessary to set dice to win at craps. In fact, plainly speaking, Casinos USA does not believe in dice control. However, we do believe that dice sets can generate certain tendencies, certain numbers, more often than not. And there's no guarantees for sure because there's just so many elements to how the dice are thrown and tossed. You know, are they spinning backwards? Where do they hit on the table? How do they hit the back wall? It's hard to make them anything but random.
And of course, if they turn over, friends, they're random, regardless of what you think. So give CasinosUSA.bet a try. Give you a chance to meet us in a more intimate way online through our web pages. And that may help you to even enjoy the podcast a little more than you do. We hope so. But I know we upset the dice control people. Sorry about that. Just trying to be honest.
24/7 voicemail, we get a nice friendly message from someone who's paid for dice control lessons. Well, here's a short one.
You better shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
Well, we hope that Christy Choir sort of calmed everybody down. But let's get on with the agenda for our podcast. We are going to give you the February monetary reports from the state of Nevada. The state of Nevada with 135,000 slot machines. And that leads us into some facts that I think you'll find interesting and where we can go with those facts and some of the conclusions that we draw. We're also going to talk today about customer service and casino culture. And I know some people get jaded and upset with the poor customer service they may receive when they're in Las Vegas. And they hesitate to go back because of it. So we're going to review three crucial areas. Talk about the good, bad, and ugly, I guess, with customer service in Las Vegas casino resorts. And we do have a section on Craps Talk today for our regular followers. And it's from a recent trip to the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland, in Rocky Gap State Park. And it's a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And we'll throw in little crumbs, too. We'll keep them a secret till we get there. All right, so after a short break, we'll be back and we'll officially start our podcast. Well, we're giving you information from the Nevada Gaming Control Board, which, of course, regulates the casinos in the state of Nevada. And this information is from February 2019. And in comparing February 2019 to February 2018, it was down a bit, but I think there's a reason for that. And truthfully, nobody's crying any tears, because the board reported statewide win by casinos of over $1 billion, over $1 billion, just over $1 billion. And on the Strip, Las Vegas Strip, $591 million in win. And Fremont Street, certainly there's a great contrast, but they were up 9% over a year ago, $58 million in casino wins. These are gambling wins, of course. And spokesman for the control board, Michael Lawton Sr., he's an analyst there, a research analyst in the administrative division. This is his quote. All things considered, he says, whenever we record $1 billion in gaming win, we are very pleased. And he believes that the state would have exceeded February 2018 numbers, but there was such a severe winter in northern Nevada, particularly in the Lake Tahoe region, Reno, that there was a decline of 25%, almost 24.7% for the month of February. And that's, I remember this in detail because our granddaughter is attending the University of Nevada next year, and so we kind of followed their basketball team, and I just followed their weather as well. And they just had roads closed. They had a ton of snow. One of the big weekends, the President's Day weekend, you know, with that extra, the Monday off, usually is big, and they had roads closed. So, you know, considering that they suffered such a severe winter and some of their bigger holidays, they really couldn't get people to casinos to speak of. Nobody's crying any tears for the state of Nevada in terms of $1 billion in casino wins. The title of today's podcast is 135,000 slot machines, because that's how many slot machines there are in the state of Nevada's casinos. Well, those machines produced $608.3 million in win for casinos, and table games brought in $403.2 million. So what I'm telling you there is, slot machines make about $200 million more in just casino wins monthly than table games. And you think about it, you know, the expense of table games, of course, you know, you have employees, you have sick days, you have medical coverage, you know, you have all those things. And slot machines don't call in sick. And they don't get any special benefits. They just get plugged in, you know. And there's a few people, of course, that take care of them. There's a slot crew, obviously, but they're less expensive. And you can see why casinos love slot machines. $608.3 million in casino wins. And table games, again, $403 million. Wow. Nevada Sportbooks handled $458.6 million. And they won out of that handling $35.8 million. And that's 235% better than they were in 2018, February 2018. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is the Super Bowl had higher wins for the casinos this year, and the basketball up to that point in February was up 8.1 million. So what you can take from that is all those experts who said that the growth of sports betting nationwide would not hurt Nevada sports books, well, at least for February 2019, it certainly seems like they're correct. The widespread legalization of sports books in our country are probably not going to hurt the Nevada sports books. It just gets more people involved in sports betting. But I'm sure you've heard on other podcasts and in your readings that people are gambling much less than they used to in Las Vegas. And yet these numbers, over $1 billion in the state of Nevada, like, how's this happening? Like, well, what you have to remember, maybe people only gamble in terms of profit. 37% of the profit for a casino is tied to gambling on the Las Vegas Strip. So there's more money being made elsewhere by casinos. But why these big numbers? And just realize that we're talking about
over 42 million people visited Las Vegas. That's the difference. Like 25 years ago, nobody would anticipate these kinds of numbers, particularly as casinos were legalized in different states. And there's 40 states now exactly that have legalized casino gambling. And then we also think about the tribal casinos. But 42 million visitors, and they're on pace just after the first 3 months of the year to beat that. And so even though people go to Las Vegas and they gamble, but they don't gamble as much as they once did, there's still so many people, 42 million people going to Las Vegas. And that's why these numbers are so positive. Something I found interesting, and again, this information is factual. It's from the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. They say that the average room rate was $130. And, you know, that's not considering the resort fee. You know, recently, some of the resorts are backing away from it because they have more empty rooms than they used to. But still, the average room rate is $130. And, you know, most of us get comped rooms to some extent, if not totally. You know, a lot of us, it's happening to me now, I have to pay the resort fee. All you five stars and diamond people out there, you know, Caesars Entertainment and M Life, you're not paying anything. But the point I'm making is $130 a night, that's still not so bad, huh? You know, I mean, right here in downtown Pittsburgh, you'll spend more for that, you know, at a decent hotel. And I'm sure it's probably true in your area as well. But I thought one of the crumbs that comes out of this for me is this thing about millennials. You know, there's a lot of decisions being made on really, I'm going to say, scanty evidence. You know, this generalization that millennials don't gamble or millennials don't know much about gambling, I disagree with that. I'm going to just, you know, tell you why. I want to take you back to a time in your life when you were 12 or 13 or 14. Hey, and I'm a boomer, so you might be a Gen Xer. You might be a millennial. But when I was 13 or 14, there wasn't anything called the internet, and there wasn't any way to gamble on this non-existent internet. But millennials grow up playing poker. You know, from what I understand, as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, they're playing poker on the internet. And you go into the poker room, and those millennials in there, and look at the poker all-stars. I mean, they're sharks, baby. They're killers. They know a hell of a lot about poker. And, you know, that leads to other things, too. You know, that leads to spending time in casinos. That leads to playing video poker. You know, so when someone says, millennials don't know much about gambling, to use President Trump's language, inexcusable perhaps, bullshit. Bullshit. The hell they don't know. They do know. Maybe some of the things that appeal to me, you know, some of the old-time slot machines that we play, and my wife plays more than I do, but I enjoy them too. And maybe they don't appeal, but you know what? Don't say that millennials don't know about gambling, because they know about gambling. And right now, there's more millennials walking the country than there are boomers, you know. So that's the biggest group there that's sharing this time travel with us, you know. So I'm not going to insult them either, you know what I mean? But this, I just can't take it in these conversations that I have with people when they tell me, oh, millennials don't know anything about gambling. The hell they don't. They know a hell of a lot about gambling. They doesn't like to gamble in the traditional ways necessarily, but they know poker. They know poker. And, you know, as a boomer, I don't go to Las Vegas to drink to oblivion, to go to dance clubs, to go to pool parties. You know, I don't do that. Why would I? And I bet you don't either. But millennials do. I mean, millennials do. And so many people find attractions in Las Vegas that really don't involve gambling. And that's why we're talking about customer service next. But one of the things they're attracted by is obviously the shows. You know, being here in the East, going to Broadway shows, I don't know if you know the hotels in Times Square. I don't know if you know the kind of hotels you're dealing with, unless you want to pay a fortune. Oh my God, these things are, you know, Fremont Street has better places than these hotels in Times Square. And you know, if you're going to do Broadway, and you're going to, obviously you're coming from out of state or somewhere else in New York State, it's not nice. So it's so much easier to enjoy big time show productions in Las Vegas, in beautiful casino resort hotels. That's one big attraction. And I don't know where anywhere else in the country when you can find the dining options that you have in Las Vegas. I mean, from A to Z, you tell me what they don't have, please. A to Z, they have it all, you know, in my mind. And if you go off the Strip and you go off Fremont Street into the neighborhoods, it even gets better. It gets better. So the dining options. And then, of course, the desert weather. You know, it does rain sometimes and it does get cold sometimes in Las Vegas. But you can count on it from, you know, May to November. It's going to be decent weather and you're going to have pool times. You know, you're going to enjoy the pool. And if you're living in parts of the country that suffer through the winter season with snow and ice and hail and freezing rain, you know, that's an attraction. So it's not just about gambling in Las Vegas. There's just so many other things. And, you know, I told you, I get jaded very easily and I move from one thing to another. But right now, I'm not jaded about Las Vegas. Sometimes you do get jaded about the Strip. You get tired of it and you want to try something new. But there's still something that pulls me out there. The other side of that is when I want to gamble, and I mean really gamble, I gamble locally. You know, I gamble at the rivers. I gamble at the meadows. I gamble at Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Maryland, Maryland Live. I gamble in Southern Indiana at the Rising Star and at the Belterra. These are places where I really gamble. I don't go to Las Vegas thinking that I'm really going to gamble. And, of course, I gamble when I'm there, but that's not the whole ball of wax for me, you know, and I don't think it is for you too. And when we come home and talk about our vacation and our stays in Las Vegas, we don't necessarily just talk about gambling. You know, we talk about so many other things. And it's something that I don't do so much, but many people do. And I don't think it's gender specific, but I think it is tied more to females. Shopping in Las Vegas. There are these upscale stores that, you know, it's just even window shopping, if not. But I can tell you, my wife, she's coming home with something every time we go. And it's something beautiful and something that she's really proud to wear. So shopping in Las Vegas is another reason people go to Las Vegas. Of course, when you go to Las Vegas, you expect at these casino resorts great customer service. And so we're going to talk about problems with customer service everywhere, but if you're in a Las Vegas vacation, it can really be a big time issue for you. So we'll be right back and talk about customer service and how it affects vacations. You know, we see ourselves as customers and we see you as a customer. And so there's expectations, like there's a minimum standard, you know. So I selected three areas that I think these standards are even more important. And one would be to check into a hotel. The second one would be at restaurants, the waiters, and we'll talk about that specifically. And also the kind of people that are running the table games. If you play craps and you know sometimes you just have a delightful time, even if you don't do as well as you had liked because of the crew at the table. And there are times when you win and it, like the crew seems like they're angry, you know, because you're winning. And they're sometimes just tough to deal with. And it's discouraging and can be an inflator. But checking in, it's not the courtesy of the registration area people, it's the lines. And so the way I got around that, I talk about it all the time, is unless I'm getting there after 6 p.m. at night, which happens sometimes with flights, get in at 7, 8, even 9 o'clock. I pay for early check-in. Now, there's a charge, but early check-in sort of eliminates that hassle. And because you're paying, I think the people are very courteous. The other thing is when you get to your room, you know, generally now there's a follow-up call to see if everything's okay. So if the bellman is part of the check-in process and you use bellman, then that's also something you expect. Accuracy to get the things that you gave them there. You expect courtesy. You expect reliability. They're going to get there as quickly as they can. So those are all things that are important. Restaurants, though, whether it's at home, anywhere on the East Coast, the middle of the country, or Las Vegas, a waiter or waitress can just make the difference. You know, obviously the quality of the food is important, and the ambiance of the restaurant, and if you're dining with others, the quality of the conversation and the table manners of the people there. But when you have a waiter that's just impolite, rude, lacks interest in trying to be a waiter or a waitress, it's really tough to deal with. And I don't think it's just about Las Vegas. There are just people that hate their jobs, and they hate their jobs. And I don't know if it's because they work with the public and they can't sustain it, you know, whatever it is. And we've had, at the same restaurant, at casinos, we've had wonderful, exceptional, unbelievable service from waitresses and waiters. And at the same restaurant, we've had terrible, terrible service. And we want availability. We want to speak to somebody in charge. And, you know, you might think less of me for it, but we're going to say, hey, you know, this waitress or this waiter, they were like rude, you know. We didn't appreciate it. I'm going to let the management know, you know, the shift manager. Usually there's three, it's like, you know, the 3 hours, the 24/7 shifts in a casino, there's a manager for each shift.
And for us, it doesn't seem to matter like the age of the waitress or the waiter. I mean, they're a polite, courteous, efficient, responsible waiters and waitresses who are young and who are middle-aged and who are older. The same thing's true with people who are just lost, you know, as a waiter or waitress, or just indifferent, just very cold. I've seen that with young people of middle age and then the older ones. It's just like human nature. And some of these people just, but I think the quality of the service in a restaurant really complements everything else about the restaurant. And if I was managing a restaurant, I would sure as hell get that point driven home to people. I hope you've had a positive experience with crews and craps and then dealers and blackjack or three-card poker or pie gal. But, you know, every once in a while you get somebody, they just like, they don't even treat you like you're real, you know. They're like, they're just doing a drill and you're the dummy there, you know. They have no response whatsoever. And boy, again, management has to observe that more and get those kind of people out. And then also the way they treat people who come to the table who really have just an interest in learning the game, and the table's not crowded, they're not really hurting anything, and just treat them like, you know, like you're an idiot instead of helping them out a little bit. You know, sometimes I've intervened in crowds and said, hey, you know, this person's brand new. I don't even know them. I just say, hey, you know, calm down to the dealer. They just glare at me. But, you know, I just don't like the way sometimes people in casinos treat gamblers. You know, have some respect. These are your customers. I don't know him at all. He's, you know, has a Twitter account, the Annoyed Pit Boss. But I don't like the concept, you know. I've actually told him that. You're an employee. Your job is to make the customer happy. You know, if you're annoyed, keep it to yourself. You got to fake it. Simple. Man, in my job, I've been annoyed to hell and back, and I just had to keep it to myself because, you know, I had to produce. I mean, I had to produce. And when you have to produce, you know, you want results. You're not going to get it with a sour face and a sour attitude. You know, you want to be gregarious. You want to be open. You want to be helpful. You want to be considerate. And, of course, you want to run the game efficiently. You know, I'm not talking about people who are spilling liquor on other people or on the table, or people who are using vulgarity and you ask them to stop and they don't. I'm not talking about that. But just in general, I mean, the word annoying should not apply to people who run table games at casinos. And I'll tell you what, if I was a casino manager, they wouldn't be with me for long. And that's just how I feel about it. You know, and finally, customer service often involves information. And I found that most players clubs, and I mean the large majority of players clubs, if you go to them and get information about the promotions, anything else, anything, special deals that are going on. Let's say, for example, it's your birthday month, and you go to the players club and you say, hey, here's my driver's license. It's my birthday this month. Is there anything for me? You know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be very helpful and get you what they can get you. And sometimes they go beyond, you know. Sometimes, and again, it's people. We've had the same players club. You have somebody who goes way beyond, and you have somebody else who is not helpful at all. But customer service does involve people in management, people who are employees, providing customers information that's important. Information. And, you know, it even starts with, as you're walking through a casino and you stop somebody, they're wearing a tag. You know, that's what I'm talking about. They have a card. You just say, hey, I'm trying to get to the pool. I'm trying to get to this restaurant. Where's the video poker section, ma'am? You know, again, in Las Vegas, so many people are just so kind, and it's not their job to do this, but that's, you know, that's how they are. That's what they're trained to do, and they're very helpful, very helpful. And the other thing, of course, is security. You can always get a security, get information from security. And if you're carrying around a lot of cash and you're going to a parking garage, I would go and, you know, if you want a lot of cash and people see you that you want a lot of cash, I would go to the security and say, hey, I'm not in the valet. I'm in a parking garage. I'd be glad to tip you, but I need someone to walk me to my car. And I don't care how tough you are. The majority of crime in Las Vegas casino occur outside a casino. It's in the parking garages. They can be very dangerous, but very dangerous. And just don't take that for granted. Go to security. Get some help. That's all about customer service. Okay, it's a very short break, and we're coming back for Craps Talk. All right, hang on. Unless you're new to the podcast, Casinos USA, we talk a lot about our betting schemes and systems for craps. We have one called 3-2-1 Craps, and we have another one called Deal or No Deal, which is a don't pass hybrid system. 3-2-1 Craps is a pass line system. And they're basically something that low rollers can play, and you can inflate them, adapt them a little bit to even bigger betting. But at Rocky Gap last week, I really got into an enjoyable situation. The table was just one of those seesaw flip-flops, and I played for over 2 hours. It was a $5 table, and I was playing Deal or No Deal. And so I would have money on the pass line and the dome pass on the come out. Also, put a dollar on the 12 sometimes. I hit a couple of times on the come out roll. And I had $30 in dome pass odds. I would go one roll without placing bets, but after the first roll, I would place the 6 and the 8. And I would either place them for $6 each or $12 each. And then I would try to keep them up for 2 hits and take them off and then hope the shooter sevened out. And, you know, the shooter didn't always seven out. And the shooter didn't always roll 6 or 8s, but they often did. They often rolled 6 or 8s, and they often sevened out. And so after 2 hours, I was down $5. And I thought, boy, this is just like scientific here, you know, because there's such a slight edge in craps. The pass line and the dome pass. Dome pass just a little bit better, not much, but they're real reasonable. House edges there. That's why I think craps is attractive if you make the right kind of bets. But a group of women came to the table, and they actually shouldn't have done this bait, but they were saying, can we watch you play craps? And, you know, they want to learn how to play craps. And I said, sure, well, let's just make you a pass line shooter. And started with the very basics. And when she got the dice, I said, you know what? This is crap superstition. This is the first time she's ever played. So I went from Deal or No Deal to 3-2-1 craps. And she hit 4 numbers, had a not a great roll, but she had a good roll. I mean, she threw the dice, you know, 29, 30 times, something like that, in the course of those four numbers. And so just one of those things, you know, I don't know if you've felt that, like, with craps superstitions, but usually when someone plays craps for the first time, you're thinking, you know what, I'm not going to bet against this person. And, you know, she's throwing the dice off the table and everything else. But doggone it, she made four numbers. And, of course, you know, now the thing is, I'm sure she thinks that's how it's going to be. Well, I joined my wife after the game, and I pointed to the woman and the other and her friends, and I said, you know what, I was teaching them how to play craps. And then they waved and said, hey, your husband was teaching us how to play craps. So they were around a slot machine, and doggone it, they were sharing. You know, they would sit down, and the other two would stand behind, and there was a guy there too, one of the husbands or boyfriends. They hit for $2,500. Can you imagine that? So we're watching them. You know, she had, what a night. You know, she had 4 points first time she ever played craps, and then she hits a progressive machine for $2,500. And you know, we congratulated her, and we took a night stroll outside the casino. It was a beautiful evening outside. A little chilly, but it was fun. And we ran into them at another bar and said hello. They were celebrating, of course. So they split that money up, I know. But, boy, that was a nice way for them to finish. But I do take heed to crap superstitions. I've shared them before. You know, when the dice go off the table, generally I take down my place bets. When there's a stick change, I usually go off on my place bets and hop the sevens, you know, those kind of things. When someone's wife or girlfriend comes to the table, I sometimes lay a number or go pick up my odds bet if I'm on the fast line, you know, those kind of things. So I just have fun with superstitions and craps. And I think the key word there is just have fun. Our April information came from Rocky Gap, and we're getting a free room a week. So now we know we'll be back in April. We just don't know when. I know we can't go. Our schedules, we just can't go one night every week. But that's just how it is. I'm sure you have those problems too. But it was nice. It's nice when casinos do that, you know, give you something in return for your patronage. Okay. Hey, and before we go, I want to tell you, do you like the slot machine, the Buffalo? You know, there's the big, big screens now, 7-8 feet high, the big Buffalo. And then there's the older ones. And I have a cousin through marriage. He goes to the rivers occasionally with his wife, and he was playing the older Buffalo-style machines, the smaller ones, 2 weeks ago, and he hit for $800. Wow. That was nice. Huh? That was nice. Well, 2 days ago, they gave us a call from the rivers, and he went back to the exact same machine about almost 7-8 days from the first time and hit for $500. So how about that, slot players? Hope springs eternal. Oh, my. And that's the old thing, never fight a streak. You know, I just keep going back, I guess, until your luck runs out. But, boy, you know, congratulations. So that $1,300 is more money than I won in the last 2 weeks at a casino. I have a couple of late items I want to share with you. First of all, Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up, you know, he's done some of our videos, our 3-2-1 crap system, and our deal or no deal 6-8 don't pass line system. So, and he does such a good job. But he has a new video. I want you to check it out. I'm going to be talking about it. I just want to let it out there for a while before we review it. 18 secrets that casinos don't want you to know about craps. So these are things that sound strange, but do you agree or disagree? We'll have to check it out. 18 things that crap dealers don't want you to know. Casino secrets. Look for Color Up Jeremy Ellerick. What crap dealers don't want you to know. You'll find it. Just search it on YouTube. It's YouTube all the way, okay? And he's top rate productions, and I think you'll enjoy it. There's some good ones in there too, man. I'm going to wait another 2 weeks before we talk about some of them. If you go on to our Facebook group, you can join at two words, Casinos USA. Just promise us you won't put an advertising on without permission. The Review Journal, that's the largest newspaper in Las Vegas, they put on a video on their online newspaper, the digital newspaper, and I have it, so I put it on our Facebook page, It's Game of Thrones Water Show, which is now on the Las Vegas Strip at the Bellagio Waters. Stick to the Game of Thrones, and I want to tell you, there's a dragon flying around. You have to see it. It's incredible what they did. So the Game of Thrones Water Show, you can check it out on Casinos USA's Facebook group, or if you do subscribe to the Review Journal digital copy, you can find it. It was either on April 1st or March 31st.
At the Bellagio.
It's excellent. It's excellent. Just check that out for us, and you'll enjoy it if you're a Game of Thrones person. And I sort of feel vindicated with the men's basketball tournament. I called out Duke's weakness in the foul line, and their snafu at the foul line cost them the game against Michigan State. Michigan State, of course, has made it to the Final Four. And you know that the gurus, the experts, all those people that seem to know everything, very few people. I don't think anybody got this one. Final Four, Auburn University, Virginia, Michigan State, and Texas Tech. And a while back, we placed a $100 bet on Virginia to win it all at 5-1. So even though my heart's with Michigan State because one of my friend's daughter is a soccer star there, but sometimes money, I'm still cheering for Virginia. So, but, you know, I think Michigan State might be the most talented team of the four. Texas Tech would be my second choice. But Virginia has the experience and the motivation from last year's first-round loss to get the championship. So that's my pick, Virginia. But truthfully, Michigan State and Texas Tech might be just as good or even a little bit better. Auburn, of course, you know, they were real too, but they have an injury.
The women's Final Four, Baylor, Connecticut, Oregon, Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish had a great second half against Stanford to get to the Final Four, but they were actually losing in halftime. So Connecticut and Notre Dame are great rivals. They're going to meet here in a day, and we'll see what happens. Baylor and Oregon on the other side of the bracket, and the odds in Las Vegas for Baylor are even money, so they're clearly the favorite. But anything can happen. And whether Notre Dame can get past Connecticut as they did last year on a Enrique's shot at the in the final second, or if they do get there, can they get by Baylor or Oregon? Time will tell. But boy, I tell you, if you're not a women's basketball fan, you got to check out these four teams. They are very talented, very talented, and they're very enjoyable to watch. The Baylor team's old school. They go inside first. They've shot fewer threes than anybody else in women's college basketball this year, so they're just big inside. The Oregon team that they're playing, they launch. That's basically all they do is shoot threes. Connecticut, Notre Dame, they do it all. They're Connecticut's a little stronger on defense. Notre Dame might have a better offense. So we'll see what happens. But if you're betting this, I would think Baylor first, and then don't bet as we bet. But we're not betting it. You know, even though we're Notre Dame people, we're not betting it. Okay. Thank you for listening today. Casinos USA is a place that seeks life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's a very special place where every day is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. So long.
Hey, every day is Saturday.